Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And we are back with another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast. Magnificent men, you are going to be stoked to learn from our guest speaker today. He is the world's foremost trainer. And I know this because I have had personal experience with him, and also because of his extensive years of experience teaching around the world. Let me introduce you today to one of the most magnificent men that I know on the entire planet. His name is Clinton Swain, and he is the founder and owner and lead trainer of Frontier Trainings. Frontier Trainings is the world leader in experiential business trainings. And at the age of 9, Clinton created his first financial game. This would give him the platform upon which he would build his future. Now, one of the things I love best about Clinton and about the Frontier Trainings program is he has crafted something that is so unique and so powerful that allows the learner to fully immerse in an experience to get not only the learning of the intent that he's trying to bring through, but also to have the full body experience of being in a situation that may happen in actual life, in business, in speaking, in all kinds of other areas. And so, Clinton, I am so, so grateful to bring you to the stage and to have you share with us not only some of the mistakes that you've made, but also some of the incredible, incredible insights that you've garnered over the years as a global leader in the training industry. So thank you for coming and being with us today, Clinton.
My absolute pleasure. I've known you for many, many years now. It's been a great time that we've spent together. And I'm very blessed in what I do in teaching and training all around the world.
Yeah, you certainly are, Clinton. And so I have a ton of questions for you today. Specifically, I want to talk to you about a few things. And the first thing I notice about men on purpose is that they're highly creative. So my first question for you, and you're like one of the most highly creative people I know on the entire planet, how do you channel all of that creativity and contain it and direct it in ways that are fruitful financially as well as fulfillment wise?
It's a great question. One is not having a need to create. I don't create because I have to. I create because I choose to. And so I'm creating at the right time for whatever I'm creating. So I have written 15 albums of music, so 155 songs, written 30 courses of material, which is over 200 games. The world leader portraits you see behind me, which I've helped put together, 418 of these world leader portraits right now. So I'm constantly creating and creating, as well as upgrading and improving all the games that I'm doing as well. And I know it's going to unfold when it's supposed to unfold. So I'm working hard continuously, developing, growing, creating, but knowing it's going to unfold on its own agenda. And I think the moment you start going to force creation is when you start having troubles creating.
Great distinction right there. So one of the things that you teach in Frontier is distinctions. So I love that you brought through that distinction about not forcing. So what can you offer to our magnificent men in the audience about, you know, how you kind of circumvent that forcing thing if you start to feel it come up? I'm not sure that you ever do, but I know that many of the people, myself included, who are creative, sometimes we do get ahead of ourselves. So what are some of the practices that you do to kind of rein things in if you feel like you're getting ahead of yourself?
Can I give a metaphor about creativity that I use?
Totally.
To me, creativity is like rainfall. And for many people, they live their life in a creative desert. There's very little rainfall, very little creativity happening in their life. And so even if there was a little bit of creativity, boom, it's dried up and it's gone because of the heat of the desert. Whereas where I am creating in so many different areas and of such huge volume, it's like torrential downpours all the time. So I live in a lush creative paradise because there is so much creativity happening all the time. bring information in from different sources, to constantly create something new, create something new, create something new. And if you're currently in a creative desert, how do you turn that into a more lush creative paradise? And part of it is looking for multiple different locations you can create. Maybe you build things. Maybe you can do some music. I've got so many different avenues of which I create. Right now, I haven't written any new songs for probably 3 years. But I've been made up the creativity in so many other areas that I don't feel like I'm lacking creativity now. And if you're not in that creative space right now, finding things to create, finding things outside. In my classrooms, we do paint, we draw, we write songs, I create games, I do music. I mean, there's so many different areas that I'm constantly creating, all different marketing material, all different signage, all different posters, banner designs. I'm in constant creative mode. And that keeps that the water of creativity nurturing all my soil to make it a lush tropical paradise.
Oh, so beautiful. That's a great metaphor. And I love that you have taken the concept of gamification and brought it into the training room. And that's one of the things that I loved best about Frontier and being a member of the Frontier family. But games were something in your background for many years. I love that you have taken not only your creativity, your generous creativity, and chosen to materialize all of that as you're guided, but that you have created a container for other very smart, very creative people to exercise themselves as well and to fully immerse through games. So one of the games that I recall was very powerful for me, I think it was called Dynamic Impact was the course, one of the many, many courses. And I think you have, what, 32 or 42 courses now that you offer? How many?
30 right now.
30 courses that you run through the Frontier Training Academy. Dynamic Impact is one of them, which is where we learned some speaking skills and we were asked to go on to the stage. One of my favorite trainers in your program is the pirate. And when we had to handle hecklers, it was so intense to be on that stage and to be in a space where we were invited to stand in our truth and speak our truth and enroll people from the audience while at the same time navigating what could potentially happen in a real life situation. So I'd love to have you speak a little bit more about how you have meshed gamification in with training and why that makes you and your company, you know, stand head and shoulders above every other company in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I grew up playing a lot of games. I ended up creating a lot of games with my brothers. And we would play these games for days and days and days and days. So gaming, I started doing computer games when I was 13, helping code and create as a programmer as well. So gaming ran in my blood. I ended up having a game store that I ran for 2 years, physical game store. I had a games club I had for 10 years. So gaming is very, very close to my heart. And when I started doing training, I thought about all different games that I've played and what works and what doesn't. So many trainers go to use games, but they don't understand how games work as tools to produce learning, whereas that would be my background. So playing all these different games and game mechanics of what works and what doesn't. So I brought in the education side plus the game mechanics side, a level that no one else has done in the industry in the world. And here I am now 13 years later with over 200 different games of all different types. And so when it came time to teach, how do you teach how to be heckled on stage? You know, some of the audience are going at you and seeking to embarrass you. One of the biggest fears people have of being on stage is having people heckle them, embarrass them, make them feel wrong, make them possibly trip up. How do we turn that into an educational experience, which is fun? And then the idea of being in a bar where you're sitting there with drinks with some friends, i.e. pirates, they're all heckling at you, and your ability to use sarcasm and wit to turn it around, isolate them, and then keep them out of the conversation. And so it evolved this whole thing into Pirate Night. So we're bringing into the game, we're bringing in history, we're bringing in the skills of training, we're building in relationship and connection because everyone gets to be close and intimate and share during that night. And it becomes a fun and very memorable experience about those people that could handle it and those people that couldn't. And then we give them 12 different techniques of what they can do to actually become better at dealing with hecklers.
Beautiful. Well, when we come back, I want to talk to you about courage, because one of the things that I deeply appreciate about you is not only have you taken your creativity to heights unimaginable by most people, but you've also had the courage to play a number of different faculty members. And so one of the things that we did in Pirate Night was I became a pirate myself, and my pirate name was Chesty B. Fuller. And I can't remember your pirate name, but if you would remind me now, that would be great. And then we'll come back after the break and talk more about your faculty and your courage to create in that direction.
His name is Sir Captain Sean Anigans.
Oh, yes, Sean Anigans. Sir Captain Sean Anigans.
I went off to a comedy training day with Wayne Brady, who was on the Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I turned up with a pirate jacket and a pirate hat, and I was in the audience. And Wayne Brady was sort of scanning the audience, and he pointed to the pirate and goes, "Who's that person up to shenanigans?" And so it was actually Wayne Brady who ended up giving me the name Captain Shenanigans.
All right, Captain Sean. Well, we will be back in just a moment, and we're going to dive into finding your courage.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com, or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
All right, and we're back, magnificent men, with one of the most magnificent men I know on the planet, the world leader in experiential business trainings, Clinton Swain, founder and lead trainer of Frontier Trainings. Now, Clinton has created 30 courses, and almost 200 games are embedded in those courses. The courses are actually taught by faculty. And there are, I think, the last I counted, 121 faculty members, although some of them may have been fired, or where you may have new faculty members in the Frontier family. I'm not sure. It's been a little while since I've been in the training room, and it's time for me to get back. So what I'd love to do now is ask you, Clinton, about the courage that you had to find in yourself and how you found it to play all of these faculty members, some of whom are women, some of whom are men, some of whom are fairies. Can we talk about that?
Of course. The way it evolved was I was teaching my students these the games, and the games lend themselves to having different characters who are not you teaching them. So if you're going to do a game set in a medieval period, me teaching it would be out of context. So I started creating these different characters to help teach the lessons at a much deeper level. And the more I did it, the more the students loved it. In fact, the first character I did was actually for a carnival night, where we're having a big carnival-themed exercise to teach investing and strategy. And I got organized a top hat and a yellow sequin jacket, and all the students at the end of it were like wanting photos with the faculty. Because up until then, I've been teaching it as me. But the moment I brought the faculty in, all the students were like, "We want more of that." So I started turning all my content into game-based and theme-based. And from there, it just took off. Went on a tear just creating all these different characters. And then had a break for a period, but we're now creating a lot more. We're up to 141. So it's a little bit since you saw it last. 141 different characters, each of their own personalities, their own costume, their own goals, their own peer group, everything else is all documented in what we do with these characters. So they become very rich. It's not just put on a costume, it's immersing myself into a role like any actor would, although I'm staying in the same role maybe for 5 hours, 7 hours, 13 hours with no break, stepping directly into that role and not leaving it for the entire game. That might include body posture changes, different gestures, different accents, all of that nonstop. So it's amazing exploration. And of those characters, we cover everything from emperors, kings, generals, cowboys, race car drivers, all along to gypsies, fairies, mermaids, princesses. The entire lot I get to play So we're going to dive in both male roles, female roles, androids, aliens. We get to step into the vast array of personalities that enable me to stretch myself.
Stretch yourself, you do, Clinton. There's no question about that. And you also stretch your students. So I want to talk a little bit about how I was introduced to you. I met you when I was speaking on a cruise and you were speaking. Actually, you weren't speaking. Preston was speaking on that cruise and taught us about teamwork. And during that experience, I became very clear that you were somebody I wanted to learn from. And then I ended up enrolling myself in the Frontier Training and becoming a part of the Frontier family. What I want to ask you about now, Clinton, is how has it been for you to be a leader of this immense family all around the world who looks to you for guidance and training and being able to hold that space for them to be fully immersed? I want to hear a little bit from you about Clinton, from Clinton, as how you lead yourself to be able to be the kind of leader to create this immense, immense gift to the planet.
Probably the first thing is for me to realize that I'm equally human. And a lot of people have such lofty expectations of me. It's hard. I'm stretching myself. I'm growing. I'm challenging myself all the time to step into these roles, play them at a deep level, transform every student in the room at the same time. At the same time, I get to realize that I'm not infallible. I make mistakes. Things don't always work. And I think it's that ability to not build up a huge ego. Although I spoke to 3,200 people in India, 2,000 plus people in South Africa. I've been on big stages. I've done some amazing things on stage, run huge events myself of 450 people, things like that. But it's equally realizing I'm one person out there running my business, doing the best I can, having as much impact. That's probably the first thing. The second thing is, it's always about the students. It's never about me. So if I know the issues come up, the first thing it's got to be is, you know, how am I best serving my students? What can I do to improve it? What can I do to make the experience more transformational? It's been an amazing journey to get to here. And the third thing is just realizing just how much logistics I have to operate to make this work globally. I am shipping stuff all around the world constantly, everything from a bracelet for one particular female character all the way to how many rubber bands, how many paper clips, how many this, how many that do I need? I have to ship this to here, that to here. I'll run out of this tape. It's logistics a lot more than I thought when I first started, but that's what makes the environment so special, is because when you come in and you immerse yourself in an environment, you can suspend disbelief and just travel back to Rome, travel to Egypt, be in this mindset of absorbing all the lessons from the games.
Well, and I think you also have lots of help from the world leaders, which are behind you right now. And I want to ask you about that little creative diversion that you took yourself on, which was to create portraits, these beautiful, incredibly detailed, incredibly rich, lush portraits of world leaders. What put you in that direction? And what are the maybe top three of all of those leaders that you most admire? And I know that's a really super hard question.
It is a very tough question. The project started because I wanted in my training room some pictures of inspirational leaders for my students. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Jesus, these sort of people up on my wall to inspire my students to a greater life. And I went searching for them. And I looked and looked and looked. Everywhere I went online, you could find small images, or when they were blown up to be big poster size, they were grainy. Like Martin Luther King had his back to the audience because he was out speaking on a podium. So I wanted portraiture of great leaders, and I couldn't find it. So finally I went and found a painter in Spain who would paint them for me. And he's painted 412. And all the eyes is going to be looking directly at you, so you can sort of see some of the images on the screen there. All the eyes are looking at you. And you can create what I've got here, which is a wall of leaders, and any time, like an advanced mastermind team. And anytime you're having a challenge, you can turn around and look at them and speak to them. And if you've read and studied about their life, then you'll know what their mindset would be and how they would approach the circumstance you're talking about. And you just ask a question, sit back passively, and then just start looking one by one by one. Oh, so Gandhi would tell me this. Mother Teresa would say this. Napoleon would give me a very different answer than that. Jesus would give me this answer. And suddenly you're in a day with all the answers you could ever need. Because all the leaders I've got, any challenge you could have in your life, these leaders have already been through it. Any challenge, whether it's Helen Keller, who couldn't speak, couldn't hear, and she had to overcome all of that to even be able to communicate with people. So these leaders are the inspiration I put in my training room, and just it grew and grew and grew, and the goal was to get to 800 portraits. And right now we're at 412. We just celebrated halfway through the project. It's taken 10 years to get to where it is now. Are anticipating at least another 10 years before the project's complete to the 800 mark.
Wow. So a couple things came up for me. First, I want to get back to the courage question. Like, where do you find the courage to play a woman or a princess or a fairy or a general or all of those other characters that you play as faculty? I want to make sure that we dive into that a little bit. And the second thing is I'm seeing Winston Churchill behind you right now, and I'm thinking, okay, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. So that really ties nicely into the courage question. Can you talk about any time that you've come up upon fear and what Winston might have had to say to you about that?
So getting back to the characters and what happened there, the male characters were easy because providing I had the room in a congruent state where things are all aligned and correct, the students buy into it because of the way I've set the room up. But at one point, I wanted to explore creating some female characters. And I went, spent some time with some other friends of mine, and they took me out girl shopping for a week. So all I did was got the dress, experience, costume, makeup, everything for a week in preparation to do it in class. And the first time I did the character in class, It was absolutely nerve-wracking because how the students were going to receive it. And the way it turned out, my character's called, her name is Wendy, Wendy Sales Quota, and she teaches sales. She came on, she taught, and at the end of it, the following morning, we debriefed it. And all the guys were kind of like, well, it's okay, we've got no problem with it. And all the women were like, we love Wendy. Clinton, we like you, but we love Wendy. And what we found was, they could relate far more to the female characters and how the females delivered their message with a more connection-based communication, with a softer, gentler way than how I would present it. All the women in the room were very much like, we want more female faculty. We love you how you deliver, but we can relate more to that. We connect more to that. Please bring on more female faculty. So I have maybe 35 female faculty now. They're some of the most popular of all 140 that I have, and it worked. But it was a big step to go ahead and do it because I could have destroyed my entire training room and all the students could have got up and left and be not happy with it, but not one person had an issue with it. And from that point forward, it allowed me to dive a lot deeper into different aspects of me that I would never normally get to go and experience, especially in a training room environment, and it adds something totally unique that no one else in the environment does anything like what I do with that. Winston's quote, which was, we'll never, ever, ever, ever surrender. I think the quote you gave me, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, is actually FDR.
Okay. Better study my leaders.
Yeah. But as far as the whole idea of dealing with fear is, you know, I've got to ask you, where's the fear coming from? What's the fear? The fear of me doing those characters is because maybe I might lose this, maybe I might lose that. And it was a risk. It was a risk. But it was a risk that I felt was worth pursuing, and I pursued it, and it's made a profound difference to me and to tens of thousands of students around the world with what I do.
Terrific. So before we close, I do want to say that one of the best parts about being in the Frontier Training Room is that we are playing. We are full out playing. We are playing the roles that we are aspiring to in real life. And we're in the training room having the experiences that prepare us for almost any eventuality that could show up in a real life situation. And so I love that you have committed your whole life essentially to playing full out. And one of the things that you do to help people get to know you a little bit better and to understand what's available to them through the Frontier Trainings is you have a course called Play to Win. So I want to let everyone know how to get to you and find out more about Frontier Trainings. So you want to go to the URL, go to PTW. So that's GOTOPTW gottopt.com, gottopt.com. And at that URL, what are they going to find, Clinton?
You're going to find the course called Play to Win. It's 3 days. It's amazingly powerful. Right now, it's offered for free, although we may charge for it in the future. It's a 3-day course of games. But think of it less as just fun activities, as powerful educational opportunities to transform yourself. You'll get taken outside your comfort zone, exposed to new material in a way where you are learning like we were children by playing, except we're learning adult-based, success-focused skills and techniques. And those 3 days alone of all my curriculum have transformed so many lives all around the planet. I have people go up to me and go, I did Play to Win 7 years ago, and here's what I learned. I remember lessons every single day. It is you experiencing the lessons versus an expert up on stage telling you what you should know.
Exactly. And I remember when I went to Play to Win, how incredibly powerful that experience was to not only show me what I needed to do in order to reach my growth edge and to help me to make the decision to say yes to becoming a Frontier Family member, which is a lifetime membership. At the present moment, that may change. Obviously, anything may change. One of the games that we played in Play to Win was Change Game. What I also felt and saw and witnessed in that gaming room was how vastly easy it was to discern and to sort those people who were committed to their greatness and those people who just were, you know, like literally by noontime on the first day, half the room had checked themselves out. And so it's a really powerful, powerful opportunity to see just how much commitment you have to your own vision, to your own life, to your own soul's purpose, to your own destiny, and to your own greatness. And so I highly recommend going to Play to Win, and that's at gottopt.com, gottopt.com, to find out where in the world Clinton is offering Play to Win again. That is actually offered in the UK, it's offered in San Diego, and it's offered in Australia. Anywhere else? Singapore, I think?
Malaysia.
Terrific. All right. Well, before we close, Clinton, thank you again so much for being with us today. Is there one thing that you want to tell the Magnificent Men on Purpose in our audience about being on the frontier?
Yeah, being on the frontier is about being boundless, about being open, about exploring, about going out there and creating. And I think, to me, life is one big adventure. Go out and play, have fun, and make as big an impact as you can.
Well, thank you again. It has been my pleasure to have you. And listeners, you can now send us feedback at listeners@menonpurposepodcast.com. We definitely want to hear from you about your favorite shows. And please give us your best takeaways, especially from today's episode with Clinton Swain.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on iTunes and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows that now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.